in your presence. We appreciate you for showing to us this kind of mercy. Thank you for the divine interest that you have in us and your desire to see that none of us live in chains of Babylon anymore. Thank you for the way you have been bringing forth your word to us day after day. And we ask that you receive our thanks in the name of Jesus. Lord, we desire that you will strengthen our bodies, our frames, as we also again sit together to consider your word. We plead that you will grant us insight, you will grant us understanding, you will grant us ability even to obey your word as you bring it to us in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Praise the Lord. Good morning this morning. I want to thank the Lord for another fresh opportunity that we have to study the Word of God together. What we have been looking at is the it's about breaking the chains of Babylon. And we looked at the foundation of Babylon. We also look at the operations of Babylon. We were able to see yesterday how Babylon operates. That apart from the fact that Babylon is standing upon four legs, the city life, the tower that has to do with security, and then the name that has to do with fame, and then money. And these are the critical things that rule the world today. And that several of us, the only reason we couldn't serve God as much as we ought to is actually because we have pursued after city life. And we looked at what obtains in the city. City life shows a lot of looseness, where you can do things anyhow, where you do not have a sense of responsibility to other people as against what obtains in the village. In the city, most time we eat synthetic food, food that is highly processed and denatured. Whereas in the village, they eat fresh food, and their lives appear to be longer and healthier than those in the city. Of course, there are so many things that makes life easy or make life easy that are available in the city. But also we know that they also shorten life. And we think that several of us, because we don't want to live a life that appears to be archaic, that is devoid of ease of the world, we have somehow, carelessly, without suspecting it, entered into the trap of Babylon. Many of us up to today, our desire is to live big. Our desire is to be able to afford some nice things of life. And I do not have anything against such thing, except that they have ability to possess a man's soul. The Bible says, love not the world and things that are in the world. Anyone who loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And the world stands on a tripod. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And these things do not come from the Father. They are from the devil. And I'm aware that everywhere today, we seem to be engrossed with that which appeals to the eyes, which that which appeals to the human flesh, and with that which gives us a sense of worth, a sense of pride. I am the first to become the doctor in our family. I'm the first graduate in our community. All of those, they are issues that Babylon uses to trap the unsuspecting ones. And we must be careful as Christians, because I do not think that Babylon uses a physical chain to tie any life. Babylon simply uses a style of diverting a man's attention to something that has no eternal consequence for him. What Babylon does is to brainwash. What they did to Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And you know, each time I read the Bible, I just wonder, many times I found it so difficult to remember the real name of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We always know them to be Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But that was not their name. Those were not their names. It was Nebuchadnezzar that gave them those idols' names. Only Daniel succeeded in retaining his original name among the four of them. Of course, we are going to study Daniel, and we are going to see basic principles of working out of the chains of Babylon from Daniel's life. But I am drawing an issue first and foremost before I look at it this morning, that Babylon does not use physical chains and fetters to tie people. Babylon only works on a man's mind. He gives him a different and a strange sense of value. He changes his focus to that which has no eternal consequence, and he makes him to live for that. And that's all. You just see a man, he wakes up in the morning, and the first thing that strikes his heart is what will make him look like a big man in the community. And that is what is driving at every day. He's pouring his entire energy into it. And you know, many times when I meet such people, I just pity them. I pity them because they are looking for what cannot live after their death. I pity them because they don't understand that life does not end at death. That life actually begins after death. And that when a man is so foolish to pursue after money, which is not certain that he will get, when a man pursues after mundane things of life, which is not certain that he will surely get, and he does not pursue after the reality of the certainty of death, then I look at such a man as a very miserable person. You know, it's not certain that all of us will be rich. Is it certain that all of us will be rich? It's not certain. But is it certain that all of us will die? So why do you think a man should waste his time on that which is not certain and abandon that which is certain? When Babylon wants to capture a man, he gives him what is not certain and he tells him to pursue after it. He will ask him to leave that which is certain. And said, nothing, don't worry about this one. Don't worry. And for us this morning, I am praying that God will bring further help to us, because we must not be deceived anymore. People like Jesus and his apostles, they understood what Babylon does to a life. And they walk very carefully. Even though they touched the world, but they got themselves first and foremost insulated before they touched Babylon, because they know that Babylon can electrocute a man when he touches Babylon without being insulated. And so this morning, we will be looking at Daniel, and we will be looking at, first and foremost, an insulation. You know, against Babylon. Can you come with me again to Daniel chapter number 1? And I would like to read from verse 8, where we stopped yesterday. Daniel chapter number 1. Permit me to read from here, even though very soon you will also join me to read from verse 8. The Bible says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. Excuse me. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melza, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Ananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pearls to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, deal with thy servant. So he consented to them in this matter, and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzer took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink, and gave them pearls. As for these 4 children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them. And among them all was found none like Daniel, Ananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. May the Lord bless this word in our hearts in the name of Jesus. Now, I want us to consider Daniel this young man who was brought to Babylon, was part of the captives that were taken out of their fatherland and were brought among the people of strange language. I want us to look at what Daniel did for him to walk out of the trap of Babylon, even though he was in Babylon, yet not under the chains of Babylon. Even though he couldn't prevent his castration, he was castrated, yet he led a very productive life. That even though he could not produce biological fruits, yet he succeeded in producing spiritual fruits that cannot be erased. I want us to consider this great figure in the Bible, a man I respect so much in the Word of God, because of an exemplary life that he led, a man from whom a man who is living in a condition like ours must learn from, in order for him not to be contaminated by all the contaminants that we see around us this day. That a man can live in the world and yet not of the world. A man could live successfully where the world is holding sway over every life, and yet he remain a man of distinction, never tampered with by all the antics of the world. I found Daniel a great example to consider with you this morning. Now, you know the high standard that the king sets for those that he will waste and use as slaves in his palace. He was looking for the choicest of young men, king's seed, nobles, sons of the princes, sons and without blemish, well-favored, understanding sciences, skillful in wisdom, and some that could be taught the Chaldean language and the literature of the Chaldeans. Those were the set of people that Nebuchadnezzar desired to have as his eunuchs to serve in the among the wise men that will be interpreting dreams, counseling him, and all of that. Whereas we are not in heaven yet, we are in this world. And if you have studied the book of Daniel very critically, you will agree with me that every kingdom of every world is the kingdom of the beast, as God revealed it unto Daniel. No matter how beautiful the kingdom might look like, we know that it's one of the kingdom of the beasts that God has revealed long time ago. But there is something that we must consider in Daniel's life before we pray this morning and we have our Bible study before we take our break. The first thing I noticed in Daniel was the purpose of heart. The Bible said he purposed in his heart. I sent a text message to one of our sisters who is in the hospital this morning. And I said to her, healing starts from the heart. It doesn't start from the outside. Healing starts from the heart. If your heart will just agree that you are healed, you will walk out of that hospital healed. Everything that you see that appear great begins from the heart. As a matter of fact, God is not looking at how you are shaking your head as you are praying. The place where he's looking at is where, please? Is your heart. A man may be shaking his head in prayer, and yet his heart is full of deadly poison. A man may be perspiring, sweating profusely at the place of prayer, and yet his heart may be far away from God. Don't forget that Eliab, the first son of Jesse, had the looks. He's got very good looks. He was a handsome looking young man. But his heart was not right. So on the basis of the incorrectness of his heart, God rejected him as king. So the first thing is about the heart. And not a purposeless heart for that matter, but a heart with a definite purpose. Daniel purposed in his heart. So let me first announce to you that coming out of the chains of Babylon is not a group, it's not a group project. It is an individual project, and it has to do with individuals' hearts. Daniel did not call Azariah, Mishael, and Ananiah, which we know as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, onto a conference to discuss with them and to say, "So, brethren, what do you think we should do about this case?" No, it was a personal conviction. It was a personal decision. And Daniel was ready to personally face the music because he wanted to receive it for us as a personal responsibility. It becomes very, very difficult and dangerous altogether when you as a Christian cannot take a stand for yourself and you are waiting for a friend of yours or for your siblings or for your business associates to give you approval before you stand for righteousness. It becomes difficult altogether when you also join the multitude to do evil. When people say, "This is how we used to do it." I have a daughter who sings, and she wants to release an album, and the producer was telling her, "Well, this is, you know," she composed songs and she played it for the producer. The producer said, no, "This won't sell. We cannot release this type of songs. You know, there must be heavy instrumentation and all of that and all of that." She came back to me and we sat down in my office and we were discussing. And I asked her, "Are you saying that this producer died for you and called you into this ministry?" She said, "No." I said, "So who died for you?" She said, "It's Jesus." "Who called you into this singing ministry?" She said, "It's Jesus." "So this man has no say in this matter. You do what your master tells you to do. You sing the song that he put in your mouth." It was difficult, but she remained adamant. It's all right. So as they recorded in the studio, now they have to do the sleeve, the jacket. And then she said, "You must use your photograph and all of that." I said, "No." She went back to the man. The man said, "Nobody does so. Everybody put his photo." I said, "It is not your personal album. It's Jesus' album. So your photograph cannot appear there." He said, "Nobody does so." I said, "You'll be the first to do it. You will be the first to do it." When a man cannot purpose in his heart to stand for that which is God, he is already a captive of Babylon. Because Babylon is always looking for mumu, that we join others, follow others to do what is not right, even though it may be colored and polished and is embellished as well. I insisted, so she also caught that fire. She also insisted. And so that's how we released the album without the photograph of the singer. I ask her, ever since you know me to be a preacher, have you ever seen my photograph on any poster? Have you ever seen it? It's not about me, it's about Jesus. When I was growing up, sorry, it is not to castigate or to slight anything. When you see a man's photograph on a poster, it is always obituary. It's always obituary in those days. So I said, no, it is not I, but Christ. We don't want to see your face. We only want to touch Jesus. My face is not important. Your face is not important. And you know, because Babylon is about name. Babylon is about being known and being seen. And that has put several of us and pitched us against Jehovah. Because Babylon will say, why will you be a silent man in the church? If you want to donate, donate, let everybody see that you are donating. Bring it forward and tell the pastor to announce how much you are donating so that they can clap for you and respect you in the church. And in fact, if you have brought chairs, write your name there. Say, donated by Brother Eze. So that everybody will know you are the one that donated those set of chairs. And they will respect you. Full, very beautiful nonsense. That's the spirit of Babylon. But a man who understands, he doesn't care if he's unpopular. He doesn't care if he's the only one who travels that path. It was Daniel himself who proposed in his heart. It wasn't a conference. It wasn't a joint decision. It wasn't a cooperative society. No, it was a personal conviction, a personal decision, a personal responsibility. He proposed in his heart. So, in this area, money is the second God. Will you dare to be a different person? Will you decide to stand for Jesus and to say, I am not living by money, and I will not live for money. I will live for Jesus every day of my life. If I need to be in his presence and a customer is calling me, I will rather choose Jesus than to go and attend to my customer. If there is anything I like about the houses, is that when it is time for salat, there are prayers. Even if you are bringing millions of naira, the young man will just spread his mat like this and he's doing his prayer. If you like, take your money, go. He will not miss it. For that, I like them. But Christian, put Jesus here. Put money here. Tell a Christian to choose one. He will choose money. I said, Jesus, you will understand. If I get the money, I go spend them for you. Shebi, you understand? No. No. Daniel proposed in his heart. And this strategy that Daniel used delivered him from the chains. We're going to see different colors. You are going to see Daniel in different appearances in this book, and you'll be amazed at the kind of consecration and grace that was on Daniel, that he was never contaminated. He was the only one who retained his original name. Even Ananias, Mishael, and Azariah, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, not retain their original name for a long time. We are going to see what happened to them eventually. So I am saying to you that if you are going to be freed from the bondage of Babylon, it starts with a heart that is purposeful. What do I say? It starts with a heart that is purposeful. It is about a man It is about a woman who has purpose in his heart to pursue, and who is never going to compromise his stand in the name of anything, in the face of anything. He remains resolute in his heart about what he wants and about what he is going to do. Are we together? I hope you know, it was such purpose of heart that made Joseph a different person among his family. Even when he had options to do that which is not right, but this young man had a purpose in his heart. He was resolute. He was not going to behave like children of his own age. I was amused and excited also about Hannah. When Eli came and met her praying like somebody who was drunk. And Eli says, "So, when are you going to put away your wine from you? When will this hangover be over?" Woman, and Hannah looked at Eli with great respect and said, "My lord, count not your handmaid as one of the daughters of Belial. I am not one of them. I am a different woman." You know that for Samson's mother, the angel warned her vehemently not to drink wine, because the baby that was going to come out of her would be a Nazarite. But nobody warned Hannah not to drink wine, because it was a lifestyle. That was the way she was living. Little wonder great children came out of her. And I desire to say to you also, that Babylon is looking for a person who does not have a mind of himself. Babylon is looking for a person who will always follow the majority to do that which is not right. Babylon is looking for a person who does not have a personal understanding of who God is. He doesn't have a personal relationship with Jesus. He doesn't have a personal conviction about his journey towards him. He does what everybody is doing. So ask an average Christian, "Why are you doing this?" He said, "I don't know. Everybody's doing it." Mba. No. No. I will be able to explain to you the reason I do everything I do. I'm not sure there is something I am doing that there is no personal reason for doing it. No. So it's difficult for you to campaign for me to change. Difficult. Because before I start to do it, there is a reason for doing it. Many times I'll just look around my house and list things that have no reason to be in our house. I'll tell my wife, "I'm going to throw these things out." Say, no, I can need sometimes. We don't need it now, so it shouldn't be here. I hate having something around me that has no reason for being there. Why will I have shoes that in 4 months I will not wear? He said, "This one I've reserved it for occasion." Which occasion? Which occasion? I don't have clothes for occasion. Clothes is clothes anywhere, any day. Shoe is shoe. And it doesn't matter The one I wear to office, I wear it to go and preach. And if I have to meet a governor, that's what I wear as well. There is no special shoe for special day. Excuse me. So, when a man keeps money without a reason, I ask him, for what are you keeping this? If he has a reason, yes. But I'm just keeping it. And I said, look, it's only a fool that gathers money for somebody else to come and spend. That's what the Bible says. The trouble with us is that we don't have a purpose of heart. We are not determined to do what is right. We always want to do what others are doing. If Sister Chiri start to sell pure water, the next woman to her shop will not think of something else. What will she be selling? Pure water. The next man, Brother Efe, what will she be selling? Pure water. And I ask, so what's the problem? Why can't you be different? Why can't you ask God for what you will do? Even as a young man, you know, in the days of essential commodity, I don't know whether it happened here, there was a day of essential commodity in the eras of, is it Abacha now, when people would go and queue for rice, and soldiers would use koboko to whip them, and rice became something very special to Nigerians. Suddenly, I stood up one day and I said, I will not eat rice again until the price of rice crashes. And for about 1.5 years, I did not taste rice. I hate anything that people are running after and see if there is something about it. It is for that reason I will not do it again. Paul said, I will not be brought under the power of anything. No. 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 Once it gets popular, that's the reason I will run away from it. I won't. Because I don't like doing things I can't explain. I should be able to tell you why I'm doing it. If I can't explain it, then I don't need it. Daniel possessed a mind that was firm. He knew where he was coming from. Even though he was a child of circumstance, yet he was not going to compromise divine standards. The fact that he was among strange people, among idol worshippers, does not mean he must behave like that, and dress like them, and speak like them, and reason like them. He chose to be a Jew that he was, even though in Babylon. I know that heaven is far from the earth, but we know that our home country is in heaven. Am I correct? And God will want us to live like that among people who are destined to live and die here. It takes a man who has understanding of where he's coming from and to stand for it. I am praying that God is going to help us in the name of Jesus. I wish God will push us to a point of decision. Why will you, as a police officer, take bribe like others? Why can't you choose to be different? Why should people not know you for who you are? Why should they not say, don't go there, we know that one, you know, go do. He'll be pastor. In fact, this one a different pastor. He's a fanatic. Let them call you by such name. And you'll have won God's admiration. It's about the purpose of heart. You know, Daniel spoke with the prince of the eunuchs. The prince of the eunuchs said, I can't do it. And Daniel will not stop. He spoke to the man who used to bring the food. If your God will not do it, I will speak to the man under him. Because he had made up his mind as to what was right. Even though it was risky, the man even told him, you want the king to kill me. I can't do it. Yet Daniel pursued after it. He was not looking for a reason to compromise the standard. Several of us, we have a way to explain. Why did you commit fornication? He said, well, he has been pressing me, and because he's saying, it means I don't love him if I don't sleep with him. So one day I allow him to sleep with me. Beautiful nonsense. Why will you break under pressure? No. Even when, I'm sure you remember the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What made them popular was the fire. I'm sure you remember. The king asked that they should hit the fiery furnace seven more times. He asked them to pour more fuel inside the fire. Let them see the flames. Let them feel the heat. Whether they will change their minds. This young guy said, oh king, we are sorry. We shouldn't even answer you, but that will look like we are disrespecting you. Our God that we serve is able to deliver us from your hand and from this fire. But if he chooses not to deliver us, we will still not bow to this idol. That was their decision. Not at gunpoint. I looked at a woman in the eye one day and I told her, this thing that God has given to you, don't release it, not even at gunpoint. Not even at gunpoint. A good soldier will rather choose to die than to deflect. And I want to say to you that breaking the chains of Babylon is not for people which I call Indomie noodles Christians. It's not for Indomie noodle Christians who are very fragile, who could not maintain their stand for a long time. Because the devil used the proprietor of the school of your child to threaten you. He said, go away, you have not paid. It was for that reason you started taking bribe again. Because your landlord wanted to eject you. That's why you started prostitution again. Because that's the only way for you to raise money. You are hopping out in and out of beds here and there to raise money to pay your house rent. And God will have loved you so much for your landlord to throw your things outside. And then he rises to take you to where he wants to take you. He made up his mind. He proposed in his heart not to join others. And I'm sure you know that it was not only Daniel that was the Israelite in the land of Babylon. Others, they have no mind of themselves. They couldn't identify with God in the face of stiff opposition, the kind that Daniel was exposed to. So, this morning, first and foremost, what I see the Lord by His Spirit bringing to us is a heart that follows the Lord resolutely. David said, as the deer pants after the water brooks, so my heart pants after you, O God. God is looking for men who will dare to follow him, where even angels are afraid to go. God is looking for men who, at the jeopardy of their lives, would dare to do that which is godly. I hope you remember those three soldiers who also made their names into the books of David, and they became one of the mighty men of David. David simply whispered, "Oh, that I may drink of the well from the gate of Bethlehem." And they heard David. He simply longed. He didn't speak to anybody in particular. He just wished that he could get the water at Bethlehem to drink. And they were at the war front. And these men heard what David said. The Bible said, and they broke through the host of the Philistines. They went to the well, they drew water, and they broke through the host of the Philistines, fighting through because of a bottle of water. And they brought it to David. David was dazed. David said, this is the blood of these people. I dare not drink it. He poured it out as a libation. At the end of David, and I didn't know David was keeping a secret record of those he considered to be his men. When the final list came out, the names of those soldiers appear. Whereas the name of Joab, the chief captain of Israel, was missing on the list. What about Uriah? Was Uriah a Jew? No. Was he an Israelite? No. He was an Hittite. Uriah the Hittite. He was one of those God marked for destruction. But there was something about Uriah. It was a purpose of heart. He chose to follow the God of Israel. And he became a soldier. He was at war front when David slept with his wife. And David, in the bid to cover his tracks, asked Uriah to come back home. And you know, David made Uriah to relax. It was a great honor for a slave to be eating with the king. And David was eating, Uriah was eating on the same table. And he was serving him wine. And they were cracking jokes. You know, when you want to make a man to misbehave, you'll be cracking some useless jokes that will make his heart to become careless. David made him drunk, and he sent a portion of food after him. He said, go home and enjoy yourself. But Uriah slept at the gatehouse. He didn't go home. They came to tell David. David said, Uriah, I thought you were going to go home and enjoy yourself. Your wife was waiting for you. He said, how dare? How can I go home and enjoy myself when the ark of God is in the war front? My Lord Captain Joab is also there on the open field. I will be a wicked man to go home and sleep with my wife. No, I will sleep here. The second day he slept there. And you know, David saw that he won't use food successfully to trap Uriah. It's all right. I know what to do. He wrote a letter, the letter of death, and used Uriah as the courier service to take that letter to Joab. That man shocked me. He never opened the letter to read, to check the content. Faithfully, he carried that letter in his own hand and gave it to my Lord Joab. That's what he used to call Joab. Say, my Lord Joab faithfully delivered his own death warrant to a man. He didn't go to his wife because of Joab, and yet that was the same Joab David sent to kill Uriah. Faithful soldier. And you know, he didn't mind. David said, put him where the battle is hot. And they put him there. And after a while, withdraw from him and leave him alone to fight the Philistines. And they withdrew from Uriah. He was the only one. When others were withdrawing, I thought Uriah also we withdraw. After all, he was not an Israelite. He was an Hittite. If the owner of the war will not fight, so why should I fight? But no, his commitment was without compromise. He had a purpose in his heart. He had a determination that is not wavering. He fought until he was killed. But you know what God did for that Uriah? God did something that assured me that for every man who has such purpose of heart, God will not forget him. Even though Uriah died at that war front, but God didn't forget him. You know what God did for him? You see, naturally in the law, when a man dies without a child, his next of kin marries his wife, and the first child that comes out of that marriage is named after the dead. So the first thing God did was that pregnancy that caused the wahala, after delivery, God made that child to die so that David can legitimately marry Bathsheba. And when he married Bathsheba, the first child that came out must be named after Uriah. So when you read the Bible, even in the New Testament, the Bible recognized Solomon as the son of Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah. So God insisted that none of the children of David will sit upon the throne after David. It will be the son of Uriah, so that God can compensate Uriah finally. I want you to know that the only way to free yourself, the first major step, the first major stride to free yourself from the chains of Babylon is to have a purpose of heart. Is to be determined under God to follow the footsteps of Jesus. That what you can't see in Jesus, you will not follow people to practice. The message Jesus never preached, I made up my mind I will never follow people to preach it. No, it may not be popular. This is not a message you preach and somebody will write a check 500,000 and say, I just bless you, Pastor. Even though it could expose us to hunger, I have made up my mind not to change. It is a purpose of heart. It is a determination. Even though you may be a lone ranger, choose to stand for Jesus. I wish we have the hymn, stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. You know that hymn? I wish we have it so that we can sing it in the course of this meeting. Beautiful hymn. Beautiful hymn. Daniel proposed in his heart. He chose to be different. Yes, I am in Babylon, but that does not change my configuration. I remain an Israelite. I remain committed to the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Even though in a foreign land. I know that where you are selling your market is a foreign land. There are several people there who are not Christians. But that's not a premise for you not to practice Christianity. Actually, light is better appreciated in the darkness. If you see somebody going on the street now with torchlight on, what advice do you have for him? Where is that my sister yet? I will advise him to go and see a chemist quickly. Light is appreciated when it is dark. You don't need light in light. Do you? You don't. You only need it when it is dark. And I feel each one of us who only practice Christianity when we come for fellowship. You only pray when people are gathered like this and they say, let us pray. That's when you pray. But when it is you alone, you can't pray. Then I'm doubting whether you have caught anything from Jesus at all. Let's open our Bible. You can open. But on your own, you can't open your Bible to read. Then there is something wrong. The purpose of heart makes a man to stand out and possibly to stand alone for God. Anyway, I'm not talking about standing alone on the wrong side and for a wrong reason. I'm talking about standing for God in the midst of a wayward generation. In the midst of perverse people, he has chosen to live his life for God. He has become addicted to righteousness, and he will not compromise it. He won't compromise it in his marriage. He won't compromise it in his finance. He won't compromise it in his business, in his academics, in his ministry. Anywhere, he won't compromise. Even as you ride your bike, your Okada, everywhere, and you also follow Okada riders to break traffic laws, I guess you are not a child of God at all. Because if you are, they say there is a spirit that drives these Okada people. I say, I don't believe so. It is because they are godless. But if you are a Christian and you ride a bike, shouldn't everybody know you to be a child of God? Wouldn't you obey traffic laws? Wouldn't you obey traffic lights? Where will you choose to behave like a motor park tout? And on Sunday you are an usher. And when you leave church, you become a thug outside there. What kind of confusion that is? God is looking for men with a purpose of heart. Even when others are breaking laws, he says, no, I will not. Are we together? Anybody confused? Daniel started from the point of proposing in his heart. He proposed in his heart that he will not. And I hope you know, he leaves no option. There is no vent, no escape route, no emergency exit in this. It is either he bends or I break. Either of the two. For me, there is no midway. There is no midpoint. There is no compromise. A little to the left, a little to the right. No, I will not. It was with a tone of finality. Young lady, how I wish this morning you will also propose in your heart that you will not have sex until you are married. whatever happens, you will damn the consequence. I will not. As a married man, as a married woman, I wish we will also say, even if we have done it in the past, and we are saying, Lord, from today, I will not sleep with any woman apart from my wife as long as she lives. And same thing for the wives. It's about the purpose of heart. When a man cannot travel that far with Jesus, I don't see Jesus traveling far with him too. I don't say it because there is no ground for such journey. No ground. For Joseph, spending years in the prison will be better for him than to compromise his determination. And did God forget Joseph? Eh? Did God reward him? He was rewarded. And you can be sure that you will be rewarded. Daniel was rewarded. In fact, the last verse I read of chapter 1 said, and Daniel continued as though he was an endless man. Kings were dying. Daniel continued. Even when we are no longer hearing about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel continued. And they were to spend 70 years in exile. Daniel continued. He saw the end of those 70 years. He was the one that prayed for the deliverance of God and God heard from his holy habitation. My prayer is that the power to survive all the onslaught of the enemy, the Lord will plant it in you today in the name of Jesus. I can't hear your amen.
Amen.
All right. We'll soon close because we'll have a Bible study so that when we meet in the evening, we might continue. I notice that for Daniel, the portion of meat which the king arranged that it should be taken so that it can look like his mate. And you know, it's always the bait of the enemy. Just for you to look like among all the people in my line, I am the only one who has no car. By fire, by force, I must buy one this year. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. God did not make all of you to come into this world the same day. Eh? Your fingerprints are not the same. The purpose hanging over your heads cannot be the same. Where God is taking you is not where God is taking them. So why will you join them in their own journey when God has somewhere better that is taking you? Who told you that you must gather money by yourself to buy a vehicle? You mean God cannot send it to you as a gift? Why must you go and join cooperative? Because you want to buy a car when it can actually come as a gift. But you know, because we are not resolute in our heart. We are not. We are always interested in that which is cheap and convenient. And those who are looking for convenience, they always end up in the chains of Babylon. The Lord will help us. I wish I could just round off at this point so that we can have our Bible study. And then when we come back in the evening, by the grace of God, trusting that He will strengthen us, we will continue to look at this matter. But this morning, what the Lord has brought to us is the purpose of heart. It is a definite strategy to walk out of the Babylonian chain. As long as you are a coward, you will surely be cowed. As long as you are not strong in your heart under God, you will never enjoy first class attention from Jehovah. As long as you are a compromiser, of course you should know that the promise of God also will not come to pass in your life. As a student, even if suddenly you found yourself in what people call special center, writing your SSEs or GCE, should you compromise? I have a disciple who, before he came to know the Lord, had a problem with his WAEC. He did some RNG there. But now he's in the university. And now that he has come to know the Lord, we asked him to go and rewrite his GCE. Because he cannot just use that old result anymore. It's not a godly result. And he obeyed. He went to write this GC, this last GC. And he called me. I said, "Excuse me, sir. I have a problem here. I discovered that where I was is a special center. They are just dictating answer. They have written the answer. They were just giving it. And I'm doing my own." After a few minutes, they came to collect my papers. And I've not finished. They said it's a special center. I said, "Go to the invigilator and tell the invigilator that you are a Christian and you are not part of that atrocity. And if she doesn't change, you will go and report her at WAEC. And I will join you to go and report her." So I asked her the following day. They said, "Yes, they have allowed me to write my papers. I'm writing it by myself." Why would we be afraid to stand for righteousness? Why? And you know, I have met cases of students, because they are not bold to say no to unrighteousness, they have to waste several years of their years in the university. Some of them, God will set them up. It will just be a few months before their graduation when God will come to encounter them with the truth. And suddenly it will dawn on them that they have used fake result to gain admission. And when they come and say, "I'm sorry, you have to go and start all over again. Because you were never a student of this university in the first place. The result you use is not your own. So what are you doing here?" But men who have purpose in their heart will say no. Even if it's your parents that have gone to pay for a machinery to write your exam for you, say no. If they say, "We are not going to pay us for your school fees," say, "It's all right. when father and mother will reject me, then the Lord will take me up. And wait to see whether God will allow you to die an elite. He has never done so once. He has not. It's about the purpose of mind. We plunge ourselves into the chains of Babylon because we are cowards. We are cowards. He said, because you have not, you never bump it, you can't eat something. And you can't say no. I prefer to die a barren woman than to compromise my faith. It will be honorable for me to face God as a barren woman in heaven. I say, yes, I stand for you. You are the one that did not give me children. I blame you for it. And let God take that blame. I told God, I said, God, if my life is wasted, you are the one that will. I know you don't waste life. He doesn't. And he has not wasted. It's about the purpose of mind. It's about the determination as a Christian. A child of God is never a coward. Somebody is sending a child back to you every time. And now you're asking that he should sleep with you. You must be able to say, in fact, in the first place, you should have asked him, Oga, why are you sending recharge card to me? And you return his recharge card. I'm sorry, I'm not a toast bread. That you think you'll come and chop one day. No. My body is not for fornication. It's for Jesus. And this body I'm going to preserve only for my husband. When I get married, he can do whatever he likes with my body, but not with a strange man that will go and deflate my glory midway. No way. Daniel proposed that he would not. So can I ask you, at what point have you been compromising your faith? At what point have you not been able to stand for Jesus? Is it in your shop, in your business? You can't take your stand not to give bribe. You can't take your stand. Then they will delay me. Why don't you allow them to delay you? And let God move you forward. I'd like you to pray. Lord, prepare me a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Lord, prepare me, Lord, prepare me a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I will be a living sanctuary.